This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3795, for Friday, the 17th of February, 2023. Today's show is entitled 2022-2023 New Year's Show Episode 1. It is part of the series HPR New Year Show. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 84 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is 2022-2023 New Year's Show, where people come together and chat the year away.
Okay, I've got a backup stream running. Testing, testing.
You have a backup stream running? How are you running another stream? Did you say you have a backup stream running?
Is there anybody out there?
Maybe. Did you say you set up another stream? Are you out there? No, Ken.
2 minutes, Honky.
Yep. Did you say you set up another stream? Can you hear me?
Honky! I'm falling asleep!
What? Who's falling asleep? Can you hear me? Can you not hear me? Well, that's not good. Yeah. Well.
Ah, yes. There was something.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
10 seconds. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the 11th annual HPR New Year's Eve show.
Yay!
Where we welcome in each and every time zone as they join the new year and say goodbye to 2022 and welcome in 2023. This intro should have been done by Honky, but he's having...
I believe you are having the technical issues.
Some issues.
Or am I having issues? And apparently Ken can't hear me. Hey, a netminer joined. Just in time. Good morning, everybody. The 11th annual Hacker Public Radio New Year's Eve podcast, where we spend about 26 hours sitting around talking. And hopefully I can get it out a lot faster than June or July when I finally got it out this year. Again, big ups to H.P. Lovecraft for helping with the show notes last year and helping speed that up and get it out. Ken apparently seems to be having some issues. To me, this has always been a lot of fun, and it was actually my introduction into podcasting. I've probably told this story a couple of times before for those who have listened to previous podcasts, but the HPR New Year's show was that because it was so open that anyone could just join in for a few minutes and say something and then leave. It was kind of my introduction to podcasting. It kind of broke down that wall of listener to creator. So I enjoy doing it. I enjoy hosting it. I enjoy listening to it afterwards. And I hope that it encourages other people to start podcasting. So, Netminer, are you awake?
Yeah, actually, I've been awake for quite a while, so... if I fall off the world, it's because the spirit's willing, but the body says, heck no.
No, I got you. And I just got up a little bit ago. Luckily, I got some Death Wish coffee for Christmas, and I just killed the last of it.
Well, I have caffeinated beverages sitting, loaded up, 6 liters of them. If I need more than that, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Hold on a second. I need to mute.
Hello.
Morning, Ken. Can you guys hear? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Now.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Don't know what happened there. You did the intro, I presume.
I kind of followed up with what you started.
Oh, I couldn't hear a thing. So that was weird.
That's all right. Did you say you started up another stream?
I have a recording going remotely. Let me just see how that works. Although it doesn't appear to be working.
Well, that's not good. Is that emergency?
Actually, I think it's... I was hoping that it was AEW, otherwise known as L.
Oh, okay.
Emergency is nice, but AEW shapes in better places.
Happy New Year from Thailand!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
How are things in Thailand?
Emergency and company, how are things in Thailand?
Good. We just visited another elephant sanctuary.
Cool.
Museum.
Yeah. Well, if you don't keep up your exercise, You'll be flying home FedEx.
Has the recording started?
Oh, yeah.
Apologies.
For some reason, I can't get VLC command line to play it.
What, the audio stream?
Yeah. Let me just try it again. Yeah, it also could be on my side, so let's
see what we can do here.
No, it's playing. It's playing. It's playing.
Oh, good. playing with streams is fun.
I hate this. Every year we have this. First 2 hours of the show was us debugging audio stream. So the stream is working. That's fine. Problem on my end.
Yeah. Well, like I was saying the other day, I just switched mics, and then everything that was working perfectly fine just went. And so I'm sitting there playing with the PAVU control with that miner talking, trying to troubleshoot what's the matter.
Yes, if you ever need someone to fill a shift with random chatter, email me.
Well, listen, we got about 26 hours here, so.
Yeah. Not counting the after shift.
That's right.
I mean, I
challenge accepted.
It is interesting with 5150's snoring show.
Ah, I miss him at this time of year.
Yeah. Snoring show, the book review from the bottom of a well in a noisy truck.
Yeah, when I mentioned 5150's collection of hearses, they wondered if they took him on his last ride in one of his hearses.
Well, I think he just had the one. But he wound up going to a hearse convention, and he had all those pictures of the many different hearses that he saw.
Well, I didn't know until he was gone how good a friend he was.
Yeah, exactly. Honky, what type of stream is that? An OGG or an MP3?
OGG. Actually, I think I have two different ways it can be. It's either OGG or FLAC, or I don't know. I think it's primarily OGG. I don't want to touch anything right now.
No.
Fear, I'll break it.
No. I think I might have it. One sec.
My recording through the stream through butt seemed to work out pretty well.
Yeah, you have that running, I hope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I started that up a little bit ago. What was it?
I sent a message to Lovecraft. I don't know if he's actually up.
Oh, in the, yeah. Was he in the Luckcast room last night? Or?
Yeah, he's been in the Luckcast room, but I've said hello a couple of times, but didn't get a response, so I don't know if he's like me. He's just been leaving his hook in the water.
Probably.
Now, Mortensen, did any elephants pick you up?
Yeah, it's the second time. The other place we were at, an elephant picked me up also after I fed him. The picture should be posted just from a few minutes ago.
Well, good thing that Elle is not the jealous type.
Yeah.
Okay.
I worry about the tiger, not the elephant.
Yeah. Priorities.
Well, I think you need to worry about the girls of Thailand about as much as you have to worry about lizards in Bangkok. So where is our New Year's window right now? Does anyone know?
Where does it start off? Let's see. I think it's the Chatham Islands, New Zealand. Yep. Those two. Oh, wait a minute. Christmas Island. Chatham Islands are in the next hour.
Well, Happy New Year, Christmas. Merry Christmas. Belated.
14.
Following our experience with the stream, I haven't set up Mumble on my new computer yet, nor have I put in the SSD yet. I figured I will stay with the older hardware that I know works and do heart surgery on my new computer when I'm more rested.
Makes sense.
I had a V8 moment. My computer, I know, is supports both SATA and NVMe M2 drives, and I picked up a SATA drive. I could have gone NVMe, but since I was planning on using this more for fast bulk storage, SATA should be fast enough for my purposes.
Yeah. I basically look at it as things like SSDs, as you wind up putting on as the operating system, and everything else, I don't care what the speed is.
Well, what I'm hoping to do is to be able to emulate larger systems, larger storages, as I'm experimenting with stuff.
Yeah. So I got I was telling you about the USB 4 bay, 4 hard drive bay thing that I got, right? So I got Armbian onto the ROC 64. I got the 4 bay plugged in. And so Armbian is running, and it recognizes all 4 hard drives that I put into the bay. And I got to figure out whether I want to do an LVM with them or just have them as separate drives for separate storages, like storing separate things. And then I got to try to put that, I think I'm going to use that Docker, installing Nicotine on an RPI Docker image and see if that works.
Yeah, I've pretty much come to the conclusion that while Ubuntu is supporting Podman, during my learning period, I'm going to have to run a VM and use it as a Docker host.
Now, why would you use a VM? Excuse me, as a Docker host?
Because I'm going to be running Cockpit as a general manager, and it manages VMs pretty well. And then if I run a VM as a Docker host, I can, you see there, the Cockpit does not have Docker manager has been depreciated in modern Cockpit.
Oh, okay. I think I have Podman up. I don't know. I really don't use it. But the only thing I have right now running on a Docker container is the Etherpad we use for the show notes.
Well, I'd like to run Podman, but at the moment it's undocumented. And one of the first books to document it is coming out early February for $60.
That's odd.
Well, the Red Hat people may understand how to translate Docker to Podman, but they haven't yet the first person to actually do it so that mere mortals can do it is clearly planning on making bank on it.
I would possibly talk to Danny. I want to say Danny's been running Podman. Is that Joe?
It is indeed Joe.
Wow, we have, minus Danny, we have most of the Lugcast here.
Well, my issue is I'm not going to be here real long right now because I haven't slept yet.
Well, that's not good. Why not?
Couldn't sleep. I gave it a shot. It didn't work out. I've been on a couple of times and nobody else was on and talking, so...
Well, that's because it didn't start until now.
Okay. I saw the recording had started, hadn't it?
Yeah.
Ben Fallon recording was already on here.
Well, he was on here, but...
you were in here.
Well, me in here right now, that's just the stream. I was having issues with the running the stream.
Okay, well, sounded like it started earlier then.
Yeah, I've been... The stream's been up for about 2 days now.
Sounds exciting.
Wrestling that damn Irishman.
Yeah. I got a new headset for Christmas, and so I plugged it in first.
Oh,
Oh, Logitech, you know what? I'm a... Let's model here. G435.
Yeah, Logitech's aren't bad.
Nah, it's comfy as hell. I just compared to my other headphones.
I've already been hitting the bench this morning. Been keeping the weight light.
Trying not to pull anything?
Yeah, I'm trying to get some junk volume in because it's fun. Maybe I'll go up and wait here in a little bit. But I'm not going to go super high today. Elbows have been bothering me again.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I ended up with bruises. Like right above my elbows.
Hi, but Joe.
I didn't actually get hit. What? I said hi, Joe.
Hey, it was L.
L?
Yeah.
Yes, Martin, she's beautiful fiance.
Ah. Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Wait.
I'm good, thank you.
So you're borrowing Mordency from us for a couple of months? You know, we should start up the Jitsi.
Nobody wants to see us this early in the morning.
Speak for yourself, homie. I'm looking great. Zero sleep, got my pump on. I look epic.
Let's see. I actually got a new camera, too.
I did, too, but it's garbage.
Oh, yeah? I haven't tested mine out yet.
No, I went by Five and Below. and they have a dash cam that you can get there for like $10.
Yeah. Well, it's Five and Below.
Well, yeah. But
start the Jitsi.
Oh, you want me to start the Jitsi? I can do that. But the whole thing is, it actually works as a webcam as well. Hook up my camera. Not the crappy one. I'll give it a try in a minute, but it is pretty bad quality wise. All right. Can you spell Jitsi again?
J-I-T-S-I.
Let's see how I can screw up some audio.
The username and password again?
User camera.
I don't know what user
cam password are. I have the username and password.
Oh, look. There I am. Of course, I have it up there. I should switch these.
Why well, can't I?
I'm constantly looking up.
What, they see me?
You see me?
No, not yet.
Kill this thing with fire.
Oh, hey, I see a Mortensy.
Oh. Hi, Augie.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm good. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I was having some USB issues there for a minute.
Do you like your cup?
Yes, the coffee cups are awesome. Until my name is Phil, not Paul, by the way. Paul Schaefer's the guy who runs the CBS Orchestra with Dave Letterman.
Did I put Paul on the address?
Yeah. Well, Joe's apparently printing something.
Aren't I always printing something?
What are you printing now?
Well, it's a different style of a latch box. Just trying it out.
I have Philip written down.
What?
There we are.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, how I screwed that up, writing it down, because I should have written it straight from my contacts on my phone.
Hey, so you must have thought it confused me with Paul Schaefer from the CBS Orchestra. And look at that. Happy New Year's, everyone. We have Joe working out and a printer in the back. Well, we had the Jitsi to enjoy all of that.
Well,
wait a minute.
I've switched windows a little bit.
Oh, we should post this. Is there anybody in there that, you know, isn't one of us?
Let's see. Ken went to the hardware store, and I don't know who Spoon is. But they're muted. Lovecraft is.
Lovecraft is.
Mic check.
Good morning.
Morning. I don't mind whatever you're doing in Jitsi. I'm tempted to look, but I have to go out in about an hour. So good luck with
in
that.
An hour,
it sounds
I hope
like
I'm
a great
asleep.
Idea. Enjoy it, both the sleep and the Jitsi. I would like to be there.
But I'm going to keep hitting those weights like they owe me money until I pass out.
I tried to do my exercise in short bursts, but often, you know, like once per hour, but divide by 10. You get more done at the end. It sounds like a bigger number.
Yeah, I do that on work days, like, because I work from this room here. So if I get some spare time during the work day, I'll just crank some out.
If I try to do them all at once, I just feel weak because the number is small.
Well, it's like me having to rotate or spread out leg day. I can't do leg day all at once anymore. I just got too old and broken.
Yeah, use it or lose it. So I need to go for my walk. Have a good day, people.
Surprised you're not throwing out a recruitment speech, honky.
Recruitment?
But yeah, get more people on the Lugcast.
I'm pretty sure they know us by now.
You don't know. Nobody. All five people that listen to the show are on the show.
Listen, we have like 6 listeners, all right?
Okay.
Maybe.
Maybe. Every couple of weeks.
Right.
God damn.
How are things going on Mintcast?
Oh, we just took a hiatus for the holidays. I got to do the research for my part of the prediction show.
Oh, right. When are you guys recording it? Today? Tomorrow? Tomorrow?
No. Not this week. Next week.
You say you normally record on Sundays, right?
Yeah, but today we would normally have our off-week show, but we don't want it to get in the way of this.
Oh, okay.
So next week we'll have a full-on show, and it will be the predictions show.
Pictures from Thailand.
Oh, cool.
I needed a bit of a little break from podcasting anyway. And I've been doing it nonstop now for 6 years. Not Mintcast, but podcasting in general. 6 years or 7 years? I think it's 6 years now.
Were you doing any podcasting before you joined us and Tilts?
Well, Tilts was my start.
Okay.
And the answer to that is no. I started podcasting because I moved out here to Dallas for work, and there was nobody to talk tech with, at least for me. I was a contractor at the time and didn't actually start work for like the first 3 or 4 months while I was here.
Ooh.
I was getting paid, but I was so goddamn bored. And all my nerd friends were still in El Paso.
It kind of looks like Florida.
Kind of looks like what? Florida?
Florida?
No, it looks like SoCo.
The traffic here looked like the 405.
Looks like South Korea. Long strip of road between Kunsan and Busan. Are the drivers as psychotic there as they are in South Korea?
We didn't hear that.
Speed limits, road signs.
Well, South Korea had those too. They were just mostly suggestions. Right of way was mostly a suggestion. Inertia was ignored completely. You ever seen a moped get run over by a fifth wheeler? Because they parked between the between the truck and the trailer and thought that was a good idea at a stoplight. Not like a normal semi either. It was a launcher.
A launcher?
Yeah, Patriot Missile Systems.
Oh, gotcha.
Hammett and trailer. At least the guy was smart enough to bail off his moped. That's where I'm at, Mordensey. At least I wish I was that tired.
So you've been up all night?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Mostly this. Sat here in front of my computer. Trying to get Pet G to print properly.
Oh, yeah.
Pick up heavy things, put them back down. And I know I'm supposed to be getting up at like 8. Oh, I could probably get up at 9. Supposed to be going to check out Sam's Club today.
Yeah?
Yeah. Am I the only one with the password and the username for the Jitsi?
No, yeah. I got it.
Okay. Like I said, I'm going to log off shortly and do that whole, well, try and sleep thing. Hello, Geospart.
Good morning from Jacksonville, Florida.
Good morning.
How are things in Jacksonville? All right, guys. I'm going to step away for a little while.
All right. Try to get some rest.
Talk to you later.
Bye. Let's see. So, Netminer, what were you trying to set up in with Docker containers and Podman? Did you have anything in mind that you want to try out?
No, I've been studying Docker, Rancher, stuff like that for a while. And when I installed the Podman controls, I was hoping that there was more documentation so that I could actually do some of the translation.
Now, did you try, did you have Podman installed? Did you try just starting it up? And because Podman is a web GUI? Yeah, I think it's a web GUI. It's kind of straightforward, I thought. I don't think you can, yeah, I mean, you might be able to start things up straight through Podman. It's a web GUI, but it's got some like advanced features to it, if I remember.
Yeah, well, I'd like to know, say you could map the Docker stuff over. But since I don't know either, I would like to have a little more clarity. And since Docker documentation is available by the ton, I may just spin up a small server instance and run something like Portainer or Rancher.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, lost people in the world.
Hello, how are you? Is muted.
Is anyone else awake, or is it just me? It's currently 5:45 in the morning here, and I'm on my morning. I must do 20,000 steps for sunrise. Anyone else in here? Anyone else alive?
Yeah, we're in here. Can you not hear us? Hello, Geospart. Hello, sir. Can you hear us?
He keeps muting himself, so I think.
Well, I think he's using a mute instead of a push to talk. Muting, he should still be able to hear, though. Well, he doesn't deafen himself. I keep looking over at the stream just to make sure that my audio is still being picked up. We had issues this morning where Ken wasn't picking me up, and I was getting very nervous. But it turned out it was on Ken's end. Have you thought about... have you tried just learning some of the basics of Docker? Like just get one of your Raspberry Pis, spin it up, install Docker, and then try to just run a container?
I haven't yet. Again, I've been experimenting with stuff. Right now, I'm going to be doing some fundamental networking stuff to so that the machines that I'm going to be using for VMs are going to have an open bridge.
Now, the other day you were talking about pfSense a lot. Do you have the pfSense installed?
Yeah. I have it running on a small mini computer.
Now, what are you doing with it besides the very obvious? Like, do you have Snort or any intrusion detection set up or anything?
No, I have it just as a basic as a primary firewall DHCP. That may be changing when I get a full blown pie hole, extended pie hole up.
How do you plan on changing that?
Well, I may move my DHCP to a Pi.
Watch out, there's a car coming. Hole.
Apparently there was a car coming. Can you set up Pi hole to do DHCP, or are you just going to set up DHCP on the same thing that you're running Pi hole on?
Oh, Pi hole will do local DNS, it will do DHCP, it will do a whole bunch of stuff. It's far more than an ad blocker.
Right, but that's its purpose as a local DNS to do ad blocking, isn't it?
Well, that's what it starts as. If you link it with Unbound, you can get authoritative DNS from primary sources, and it will also do local DNS. And as part of local DNS, it will also, if you want to, you can activate a DHCP server.
Okay. So when I set it up, I basically I had one of the Raspberry Pis. I put DiaPi on it, put PiHole on it, and then I redirected. I redirected my internal DNS over to it, so it hit that first, and it seemed to work out pretty well. Except for there was some things that my wife did that it seemed to block for some reason, and there should be able to just kind of do a one-click shut-off of it, or a temporary shut-off, or set an allow, but for whatever reason, not sure if it was just the DietPi version of it, but I wasn't able to do that, so I wound up just taking it down, and I never wound up putting it back up.
Well, I've been working on getting a few things together, but just getting this new box straightened out, it's amazing to see this little one-liter box replace a pretty beefy tower.
Yeah.
Of course, now I'm going to have to look for some storage solutions, but that can be made optional. That's why I'm looking at secure FTP, because I have many machines and more disks than I know what to do with.
Oh, cool.
Now I can.
Excellent. Now, have you done anything with your Pi? Is it 800? Is it the little keyboard one?
I haven't been doing as much as I might. When I was working with it, I was having trouble with it powering up reliably. I don't know. I'm going to have to try to see whether it was the power supply or just a bad power connector.
Mm.
It may be that the Pi Foundation is on their Pi 400s, maybe shaving the quality of the input socket a little bit.
Well, there was those old, remember when the Pi 4s were having issues where you had to have like a certain type of power connector when they first came out? It may have something to do with that, because it's got a Pi 4 inside of it.
Yeah, well,
I know they did a software update to fix that. No, they did a hardware problem to fix that problem, I think. I don't remember. But it was initially when it first came out.
Well, what I've got is I've got a Kandikit 2-gig Pi that I could use for other things. I was going to use it for Open Media Vault, but I'll have to see. But the deal is, since it's not up, I may switch power supplies and see if getting a good quality, and Kandikit's supposed to be pretty good quality. We have a new hello coming on. Happy New Year.
Right, where am I? You have that up? Let's bring it up over here. Do, 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 do. And I don't remember which one it is.
I've just got the clock. I don't have the map.
Let's see. And the first hour.
Hey, big guy.
Hey, big guy.
Morning.
Let's see. I believe this is when we welcome in. Greetings to Chatham. Chapman? Chatham. I cannot. I think it's Chapman Islands, New Zealand. Chapman Islands. First one was Christmas Islands and Samoa. I'm trying to fill in show notes from the beginning of the first hour. Let's see. Chatting with Honky Morton, Sue, Joe, Ken, and others. We talked about Pi Hole. Podman. What else did we talk about? Pi Hole, Podman, PDIs.
A little bit about PFSense.
Yeah, PFSense.
And something about my new micro PC. I actually lucked out. My mini PC uses laptop RAM, and I had an 8-gig stick sitting here waiting for it for a good home.
Cool.
So now my 8-gig machine off the shelf has 16 gigs.
Nice.
Also, it's been kind of nice with the Raspberry Pi acting as a cache. Installations and upgrades are all coming off the cache instead of necessarily coming down the wire.
Good.
One of the things that I'm also learning about is Network Manager Text User Interface.
Network Manager's Text User Interface?
Yep. It's something called NMTUI, and you're going to be able to do a lot of the stuff that most people would think you need the graphical interface to do, but evidently Network Manager, first it has a lot of modules for SSH and other things that I don't think anybody really explores, but it appears that that it can be manipulated just as effectively over a minimal, over SSH or whatever.
Cool.
Well, what I'm going to do, and I'll start with a reserve with one of my secondary machines, is I'm going to switch to make a bridge that will basically take the place of the primary network connection, wired connection. That way, the way Vert Manager works is that it puts in its own NAT layer by default for networking. But if the machine already has a bridge arranged appropriately to act as a network switch. You can switch the networking so that your VMs plug into the bridge as an internal switch, and they get all their DHCP and all their goodness from just like they were physical machines.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I uncovered a bunch of stuff recently, and I just haven't, with the holiday and everything coming up, I haven't had a chance to really sit down and dig into anything. And once I get things settled, I hope to install some emulators.
Oh, that is that in Jitsi? Morton, you Jitsi.
Hello.
There we go. I hear you going through Jitsi, and I'm like, I thought it was on Mumble. And he left more. No, there he is.
Hello.
All right. Trying to figure this out.
Now, is there a data source that you're using for the New Year's hellos?
Is there a what?
Is there a web map or something that I should put up?
I'm using the show notes for the show. The show has the show notes is broken up into many different segments for each hour to try to keep track of things. A link to the show notes is on the Hack Republic Radio site. Let's see. Let's put it here. It is. All right, I think that should do it. Morton, see, are you in a tunnel? Or did it just all of a sudden get really dark where you are? Oh.
It got dark quick.
Real quick. Good Lord, did you guys have a dusk, or was it just daylight and then dark?
Yeah, when I was showing the picture of the temple and saying that it kind of looked like Florida, the sunset was on the side.
Oh, yeah?
The sun was getting red. It was just dipping below the horizon.
So do you guys have any big plans for New Year's?
Yes, we're heading right now to see her friends. That she grew up with, went to school. They're looking forward to meeting me. They're excited. And then we have to drive back like about 2 hours to get back to her brother's house to celebrate New Year's.
Cool.
So we'll probably miss it because we keep being late to everything. when we miss the plane flight by like 10 minutes, to fly from Bangkok to Phuket, Google said it would be like just over 6 hours for the drive, and then it was like stop and go traffic the entire time, and it was like 14 hours. It was terrible.
Oh,
did you hear what happened to Southwest Airlines?
I did not.
Southwest Airlines was yelling at some of their ground people It was horribly cold in Denver, and one of their higher-ups decided, while the guys were busting their asses, that he should encourage them a little more in frostbite weather. I heard something like 28 of them quit on the spot, and when you 28 people who are dealing with holiday traffic pull out, airplanes don't launch, and soon it snowballed, because when flights don't happen from one place, they start canceling. It snowballs and snowballs and snowballs. Also, Southwest Airlines has been using 1990s aircraft scheduling software.
Excellent.
Which was great when anything was flowing nicely. When it started getting hammered with thousands of cancellations and reschedules and whatnot, the poor thing just went, belly up. So the only way Southwest is getting back on the air was to basically shut its entire system down and reset everything, and then start their schedule from scratch. Also, Southwest Airlines has no peering connections with other airlines. So when You can't fly southwest. You're on your own.
Awesome.
I have a feeling that there's going to be some serious restructuring in Southwest Airlines, if they survive.
I would imagine.
An old hippie friend who passed away a few years ago, he was in his 70s probably, but he was still a hippie, said that that's carrying the package by the linoleum knife. There's carrying the package by the string, and then there's carrying the package by the linoleum.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. Southwest Airlines. People were having trouble getting to work. They were calling in sick, calling in, snowed in or whatever.
Right.
And the management responded that you'd better have a verifiable doctor's note when you come in. And that didn't really encourage people to show up. And the people on the ground, when the bosses said, you've got to fill in the difference, decided they could fill in the difference somewhere else.
Mm.
I know you and I, Honky, are nice and warm, but the western half of the United States is getting the baked Alaska treatment without the bacon.
Yeah, but I think some of that's improving, though. Well, actually, I don't know about the rest of the world. I know I have family down in Florida. And Florida got nice and cold for a little while, but they're starting to warm back up again.
Yeah, well, the warm air is coming
up. Have you had?
It's going to be like 50, going to be 50 around New England.
Right.
And the middle of the country is going to get snow and rain.
Fun. Morning, Sebastian.
Last night and tonight.
Right from your head, yeah?
Last night and tonight, we're getting the coldest temperatures here in Thailand at 23 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
Wow. With wind. It's a frigid winter here. Yeah.
Does this sound okay? Can I be heard?
Yeah, you're fine.
Right, good. I just set up. I was listening for a while whilst doing something else. But I'll be on for a bit now, and then I'll do something else, and I'll come back later as well.
I think that's what all of us do.
Well, actually, wasn't it 5150 or someone who basically stayed through the whole thing in the past? The whole 26 hours, yeah.
I think he tried at one point, yeah.
Actually died, didn't he?
Yeah.
Also, any Americans be in bed? It's 5 a.m. or, I don't know, early hours of the morning.
6:30 East Coast.
And we have greetings to Norfolk Island and Kingston.
I like, what I was going to say as well, are we going to do this? Is it all through now as well, like every time zone, yep. Right, this place is coming in now. That place is coming into the new year.
You can, yeah.
Happy
it's
New
not
Year.
Mandatory. Yeah. It's not a mandatory thing, but yeah. What happened to Chitsy?
So someone talks about a mini PC. Oh, I think they meant a USB or something.
What?
I don't know.
Talk about mini PCs. We've talked about Singapore. Go ahead.
Mini PCs. How about the if they win the fall, you can crowdfund, well, they get crowdfunding every single time, but really they release plenty of successful devices, and there's a thing going right now on Indiegogo, and that's going to be absolutely amazing, I think. It can play, maybe not PS5 games, but PS3 and all that, sure, so quite a few AA games, but you can also use a mini PC with a keyboard. Got some of these devices, the old ones from the past as well, myself.
Did you say that was by GPD?
Yeah, there's a campaign going at the moment. I mean, they get a crowdfunding every single time, but really they release successful devices. So when I crowdfunded / bought that, I was worried that I'm spending over £1,000 actually, because I believe that will come no problem when it's time. And yes, it looks very good from the hardware specs as well. Like, it's really improved since the original one as well. Because I got the original.
Well, there have been many versions of the GPD, haven't there? The GPD Win, the GPD, there was like a gaming one.
Yeah.
And then the problem with GPD has always been, from at least for me, has been the price. They're really cool looking devices, but they're super expensive.
I don't remember how much my previous ones cost. I feel like this time it's more expensive, but on the other hand, it's got some of the best hardware in that particular device, so it kind of makes sense. But yeah, there was the GPD Win, that's the fourth one, like you said. There's been a GPD Pocket 1 and 2, there's been a GPD XD, there's been a GPD Micro PC thing, and there's been some other things a little bit as well, or updates, like the Max, where you get bigger screen or something. But it's all good stuff, although it is from Hong Kong. I had some of them going like, oh, I wouldn't buy things from Hong Kong or China. And I was like, you know that most tech is made in China or Hong Kong, yeah? Because some, you know, well, the antitrust people don't trust it fully, maybe, but... And actually, that guy was saying he liked Lenovo as well. So I was like, you know, Lenovo's from China, yeah? And then I'm looking forward to something else as well. And I better get it this time or I'm going to be annoyed when it comes out. And I know exactly what that is as well. Very quiet. And there's been a few people on so far, I think, on this as well.
Yep.
I'm also looking forward to another device. I expect it to be released in March, probably. And I know exactly what it is. It's just last time round I got caught out because it was like, oh no, you're releasing on a Wednesday when I don't have the money to buy this because of, let's say, some money problems at the time or whatever. And I thought, oh, I do on the Thursday, except the next day it already sold out, of course, in about 4 hours or something. Because high demand and a lot of hype/marketing around these. This particular, well, yeah, all the Pine 64 stuff, very, very overhyped. I mean, and it's reasonably cheap as well to buy any of that stuff. I mean, it is good. And yeah, they're doing a Pine Tab too, so I couldn't get the original Pine Tab, and that annoyed me. But the Pine Tab 2 is coming, and that's supposed to be that bit better as well. So yeah, it'd be lovely to have a Pine Tab.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, a nice little Linux tab. Well, it's ARM with a Pine 64 in it, basically. Oh, and then also there's something else crowdfunding at the moment. Very interesting. That's going to happen as well. And that's the Audaboy Mini, or whatever it's called. Yeah. I had the original. Well, I might still do. I have a feeling it might have been thrown out by someone by mistake here. Not me. Oh, it's in a box somewhere, because these things are so small. They're like card size gaming. And I had the Tetris thing as well, and I hope it's there somewhere, not being chucked out. But they're doing a new campaign where all the games will be or there'll be 300 games on these little devices. It looks really interesting. All the Boy Mini, and it's already crowdfunded, really, because lots of people have put money into that already, so that will happen as well. And you can play, and that's worth a look. You can play the like interesting game or something that's absolutely tiny as well.
What were you saying, that matter?
Well, what I was saying, or
there? No, I was mentioning the P800. It's a quite nice little box.
What's the P800?
RPI 800.
Hey, Raspberry Pi. No, yeah.
The one that's a keyboard that has the Raspberry Pi 4 in it?
No, this is a competitor to the 400.
Oh, right. That's the one, that's the one that was put up by the Orange Pi guys, isn't it?
I think so. It's an Orange Pi? Yeah, it's got a RK.
Sorry, but Raspberry Pi, they're just not cool anymore. You got to look at Pi 64 now.
No, they're all good. They all serve their own purpose. Yeah, the Orange Pi 800. Orange Pi 800 is currently $108 on Amazon. The Rockchip RK3399, 6 cores, 6 threads, 1.8 gigahertz processor, 4 gigs of RAM, and 64 gigs eMMC.
If you think that's impressive for a small device, look at the Aldery Boy Mini that I was just talking about. You'll be like, really? You can do that on something so small? You can play with games and do whatever. Oh, I just thought of something. 2023, the year of most, I think, a lot of conferences being back on for Linux and other things, which is going to be lovely after the COVID pandemic, yeah. But I've got one coming up in Brussels, so February, so that'll be good.
Yeah, I was going to say, here in the States, I know a couple of conferences have already opened up. There's more than two just came from Ohio.
Yeah, I think in the summer there was that, was it South Carolina Linux Fest? Yeah. The weather it's called, the American thing, yeah.
Yeah, those crazy Americans.
But it's like here, there's FOSDEM, massive, biggest one in Europe, and that's going to happen on the beginning of February.
Yep, that should be cool.
And that's internationally recognized, and it's massive. They used to say 5,000 people came. Now they say 8,000 people. It's the official registration, but that should be massive. It'll be really popular. The beer event to begin with on the Friday. And there's all kind of talks and everything, stands on the weekend. It's just amazing. There's also a little hi-fi show in my city that should be coming back. Well, not little, it takes over one of the hotels that's big. So I'm kind of looking forward to going to that at the end of February as well. Well, not that I have money to buy any of these expensive speakers personally, etc. But it's nice to go around still and listen to things and stuff like that. Well, it all sounds mostly the same to me, even though that one's more expensive than that one. And there's a little bit of home cinema or something probably as well. Yeah. Is my push to talk down now?
I don't know. I heard you. Does that count? All right, I think I'm going to step away for a little bit, get another cup of coffee, and see what the family's up to. I'll still be around monitoring things, but if the Netminer, you have my email. If you're around and there's any issues, just ping me. Are you awake, sir?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe Netminer. Oh, hey.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, if you're around and you notice any issues or anything, just send me a quick little email if you could.
Hopefully, I should get it.
All right, I'm gonna step away, grab some.
Aha. I think my first talk is working. Are you still hearing that, Miner?
Yes, I am.
I said, I don't know if you heard that, I said, I guess that leaves us to keep it going for a bit in a way, otherwise it'll be white noise, yeah? Like nothing.
Yeah. I guess it's up to us.
Huh? So what did you say? Say it again. What did you say? Say it again? I didn't hear that.
We're going to be filling in the breach.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Might as well. I was going to stay on for about an hour or so, I think, and then pop off myself and then come back. So, well, that's what I was thinking anyway. So,
well, I'm going to try to stay as many hours as I can, and that will be interesting.
I might try and keep the after show going as well. If possible, it was me who kept it going, got going so long the other year anyway. About, was it 5 years ago? 4 years ago? Might try it this year and see if, next year, 2023, yeah? And see if we can keep it going and break the old record. That'd be funny. I think it means I'm. Push it. I think it's getting stuck. My push to talk laptop. Right. I think this means I got push to talk on.
Yes, it seems a little stuck.
Yeah, I think it's because of the laptop. I've been pressing the button down a lot, and then maybe that's what I shouldn't do. Actually, even though it kind of like I can keep it down then, but. I did want to talk, so. It's a nice idea, though, isn't it? Push talk, and then you basically. It doesn't record, doesn't pick up, doesn't record you, when it's not on, so. So you're in America, are you, Netminer?
Yeah, it's like a little south of Boston.
Oh, south of Boston, yeah. The Richard Stallman place.
Actually,
been in the holy ground of the
Free Software.
yeah, the Holy Grail, I can say that. The SFS, yeah.
It was rather interesting because I was running DOS at the time.
Wait.
And I was buying a copy of their software ported to DOS, the same stuff that makes up most of the FreeDOS project.
Oh, the FreeDOS, okay. I was like, oh, you ran the old DOS nonsense, and then it's proprietary. You know, but yeah, there is that FreeDOS project as well, that's true. The one that never hit off properly, well, Alpha, not sure what the number is, I'm not looking right now, but Reactor S, you know, that could have been something more. Potentially, but I think it's just lack of developers as well. And it's such a complicated project. You can do an open source Windows, basically.
I happen to know that FreeDOS works very well for pure DOS applications. It doesn't necessarily support Windows 3.
No, but. I remember going to a stand at Folsom for MacOS, and they're trying to demo Word and all that on it, and of course it crashed, didn't it?
React is a completely different project, but they're going along.
I think they share code with Wine now a bit more as well.
Actually, Wine, from a practical standpoint, is far ahead of any open source Windows.
Morgan's left channel and disconnected.
Wine is pretty good, really, for what it is. Yeah, Wine is quite good for what it is. And then there's also Code Weavers and Play on Linux and things that use it as well. Their changes.
Well, I think between the Code Weavers and the people working on the Steam projects, a lot of the translation layers are getting quite good.
But really, desktop Linux should dominate the desktop market as well, but it doesn't because of, well, I think it's really because people just don't care enough, average people, even people that know that Windows is a bit not the best. And then some of those will go to Mac anyway, so it's like, well, yeah.
A lot of it is that people want absolute Windows Server, and no matter how good LibreOffice is, the competition is used to the output of Microsoft Word.
Well, in a way, yeah. We had that debate with one of the main at the time, or we'd be quite known Chronicle/Ubuntu people at the other event. It was on that Sunday night, late at like 4 a.m. and after people drinking beers and eating Pringles and things. And I remember sitting there, and the last debate was about Microsoft Office vs. LibreOffice, yeah. And which is really the best, and which is really better. And he was saying something like, Microsoft Office may actually be better for certain people because da 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 da. Whereas the rest of us are going like, LibreOffice is good enough for most people because it can do most things. But people get locked into that as well. And some are not willing to try alternatives, and I don't know. And it's the same with Windows. They think, oh, it's scary to change the operating system. Well, how do I do that? Did you hear that?
Yes, I hear everything.
Yeah, no, it's just my push to talk to play off a bit, but assume as long as it's blue lighted, that means yes, I'm on. Although sometimes I want to turn it off, really, but it's a bit stuck.
That's a serious problem with Mumble. You have to go through the whole reconfiguration to change, even push to talk.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
right, now I've got to make a choice, I think. Mumble is not responding. You may choose to wait a short while for it to continue, or force the application to quit entirely. Force quit or wait. I press wait, but that's on the recorder. I was trying to make my own recording, but nothing that exciting has been said. Anyway, I'm gonna lose. If I press force quit or guilt, I'll lose that, and I'll lose the channel, but I can come back. But I think I'm going to lose that anyway now, because it's giving me this error message on top of it, which is a bit frustrating. I'll come back. I guess I'm going to go force quit, and I'll reconnect. I'll rejoin. I'm still coming back. I assume you heard that as well.
Yeah.
This is a bit annoying, though. It's sort of crashed on me, but it's, well, not properly, but it's, but it has, you know, it's crashed. Really? Okay, full square. Here we go. You can turn your laptop off.
Well, I guess it's time for me to greet most of Australia. Happy New Year, Melbourne, Sydney, Honoraria.
Steve, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm just trying to get a proper clock. I think we've been off and on.
Say again?
I'm trying to get a proper GMT clock.
Well, for time zones, or actually, yeah, we've been on an hour, so we are at, I mean, UK GMT, we are at 12:06 GMT UK time, and that would mean that somewhere else has gone into the new year, except I don't know where that is.
Well, this is corrected greetings to a small region of Russia, Marshall Islands, and another Funa Fulti. Yaren Tarawa.
I've got a list somewhere. Right, good. Yes, welcome to the new year, those places. Although you're not on this podcast, and you're those people, I don't think. And you're not listening to it either. So what a shame. But that's how it goes.
Well, there are links to the show notes on the Hacker Public Radio website.
Yeah, has he put them up already? Or
put up the framework of basically the time zones.
Right, no, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
I think we were a little ahead of time.
So, yeah, no, we're still a bit early at the moment. In fact, those places just now would have probably been really the first ones to go into the new year, but because, was it American Samoa, someone moved forward, went from the very last time zone to the first time zone, and then we're just daylight summertime as well. It became like 16 hours ahead of GMT or UTC instead of 12 hours ahead. And then also, and I think there's only 12 hours going back, but it kind of shows that we've messed it up. The idea that a day is 24 hours across the world. We as humans have even messed that up. Congratulations, we've just wrecked our own clocks, because GMT or UTC is supposed to be in the middle of all the time zones, really. Well, it does mean we get the 2 extra hours on the New Year's show, so I'm not complaining too much about it. And there'll be an after show. It's a nice rainy day in England, where I am. I might pop out later, go to a shop, and not bother, I'll see what happens with that nearby, but nice, cloudy, rainy-looking day. The weather where that one is, I don't know, tell us right now. What's the weather like over there, Netminer?
It's trying to decide whether it wants to rain. It's in the high 40s Fahrenheit.
Oh yeah, you do Fahrenheit. It's I'm gonna look over Google that, I think. Right, it's 12 degrees C O C. You see, not Fahrenheit over here. So yeah, 12 degrees C apparently outside or whatever. That's not too bad for that, considering it's winter as well. But it'll be a little bit chilly out there. This is gonna get probably quite active later. Just early at the moment, the New Year show. What distro do you use? Classic question. What distro do you use, Netminer?
I'm running mostly Linux Mint XFCE.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. XFCE, it's I never really got into that. It's okay for what it is. Looks very old, though. But so does GNOME 2 or Mate now as well. It's weird, they really do.
Well, but then again, my history goes back to a lot of DOS and Windows and early Windows and even earlier than DOS, CPM.
I see. So you're old school, right, yeah.
Yeah, actually, I had an account on a Unix machine back in the 80s. Yeah, our system drive was an 80 megabyte drive, and it was about the size of a small hassock.
What about, like, OpenBox? I've seen that. I mean, there was someone, that CrunchBang guy used to run that and people like that, but OpenBox is like, well, black screen and you right click and you've got a menu, and that's about it, it seems, from what I've seen.
Yeah, that was, I've tried to work with OpenBox, but I didn't have enough Linux experience to configure it properly and everything. That's one of the things that I'm setting up virtual machine hosting at home so that I can experiment like that.
Yeah, I guess it could possibly be configured a bit more. I don't know, I just thought it would be very basic. I know Enlightenment can be, like Enlightenment can be themed and things, and it can be like, whoa, okay.
Well, I don't mind. I'm coming in from a more minimal arrangement.
When I'm bored sometimes or whatever, what I do now, and I may not be the only one, to be fair, but if I'm in GNOME or GNOME, well, GNOME 4.3 at the moment, really, you know, Ubuntu or whatever, but or GNOME 3 can do the same thing. I can just hover over and go to activities and just see it move my windows around, or click around the menu for shutdown and Wi-Fi. And it's got that bit of bling in there, but it's not too much. It's actually quite. Or when we see the windows when you press the various programs that are on the thing. But yeah, GNOME hasn't overdone the eye candy. And then people can get extensions still and theme it, and if they really want to. But yeah, it's quite nice.
My active Linux experience started out when I jumped from Windows 7 with an aftermarket multi-screen kit, so you could have more than one monitor on your desktop. I know, something Linux has had for a long time, but that was Windows, and Windows has been pretty crippled in a lot of areas.
The multi-pile desktops, well, the two desktop screens as well, but I don't think that's not what you meant. I think you meant the actual multi-pile desktop. So, yeah, I mean, what, Debian had it back in, or some user interface probably back in 1993, even, you know, in Linux, and then Windows suddenly got the feature in, like, I think it was Windows Vista, actually, and it was like, you can do that.
Well, I was running Windows 7.
Maybe it came to Windows 7 as an update, I don't know.
I didn't know it as a native feature. I had to buy a secondary package
Oh, it's a bit like tab browsing now. I remember we had NetCaptor in Windows, and I think you could download that. It was still free, one of those fake IE shells, not really, they go and use Internet Explorer underneath, but it did have tab browsing, and tab browsing did not come until, they were so delayed with that as well, when Internet Explorer got tab browsing, I think it was like version 7 or 11 or something silly, whereas Firefox and Chrome and so on all did it.
Yeah, well, I started out, I had early AMD, their first on-chip integrated graphics processors, and I could run a couple of screens off of that processor or I think I could run one using display link video over USB.
Yeah, but is all of this just a hobby now, a passion, and something you're enthusiastic about, or have you had jobs in it as well? Are you getting paid?
Mostly a passion. For many years, I was home taking care of an aging parent, and well, the situation was the computers helped me deal with the situation.
That's the thing to do, you mean, or?
I would be looking for work, but my mother was very critical of any. She made it rather difficult to look for work, because if I had gotten a job, I could have moved out. She would have lost her house staff.
Yeah, that's true. If you go look after someone like that, then Vuta is a way to spend time doing something else as well.
Well, also, my nerves were at such a state that I went to our state rehab organization, and they uncovered that I have a mild case of autism.
Right. Yeah. You started that topic, autism. I wanted to say something to do with. No, actually, I was thinking of mine. I don't want to talk about on HPR this year, partly. And so, in that case, you can, and somebody else has just joined on the channel. I don't know if they're coming in here, but either way, I want to do a speech about this, because I do like public speaking, and I have to do Toastmasters. I've got a music speech, music and rock, and then I'm doing like the STEM Steam Stream people, basically. And it's going to be about open source and stuff, and how, only 7 minutes, but I want to do a speech about some of the stream passion and interest that certain people have, and how they're doing when it comes to like open source, for example. And they're doing this as hobbyists, and they've given up all this time. You know, like, some of the projects are tiny but important sometimes, and like there was Shell Shock in 2014, and it turned out that hang on a minute, encryption on websites doesn't work because of this bug in OpenSSL, I think it was, and they had to fix that, and it turned out it was volunteers working on this, doing it in their passion and in their free time. Then Apple, Microsoft, Google were like, oh dear, we need to get together when things like this happen, we need to sort this out. And there are people who kind of like give up their lives to do software for like this, for example. They don't bother with like having partners and things. Well, some do, but a lot don't really bother. They sort of go, nope, I do this project, I do this, this is what I do, this is what I care about. And then the debate is basically, you know, is that autism as well, possibly, or Asperger's, if you see what I'm saying? They're having that stream passion where you can give up and just do only that, or for the most part, everything else doesn't matter, you see what I'm saying?
Well, I have Asperger's, and yeah, some of it is, and some of it is just, well, socially, some people just don't adapt to the rough and tumble of social intercourse, and they find it much easier to go in and deal with the computers, or whether it's model railroading or keeping fish or painting or whatever they do.
Yeah, so I've got some as well, apparently, but I got an old diagnosis at like age 14, bullied at school, but it's so long ago. But in some ways that you can use as for your advantage, but I think in reality a lot of the tech people, or STEM, I'm going to say, science, tech, engineering, and mathematics, right, STEM, people do probably have at least some autism or Asperger's or something, like, you know, that it may not be diagnosed, it might just be a few traits here and there, but yeah. And like these are the inventors and things as well. So if that's, maybe that's a good thing, really. But obviously, so-called usual people are not gonna fully understand that. and stuff or understand it, and then he might have problems with the social side, possibly in certain situations, and it's hard to socialize or haven't had certain experiences when other people usually have them or whatever it is. But on the other hand, there's all these amazing projects and that's what I like about open source. It allows you to contribute, not just as a programmer. You can do marketing if you want, or quality assurance, or graphics, or translation, or documentation. And it doesn't really matter who you are, because it allows you to get involved and do things. And it's the same with these conferences when they happen. It doesn't matter that person is working on whatever and I'm doing whatever. It's like there were similar people, I guess, and it's nice. Because in general society, most people are nothing like us. STEM people, I'm going to say, yeah. Average people just don't really understand tech enough, as I said earlier, and things, and yeah. No, any response to that? You still here, yeah?
I'm still here. I'm just trying to get the time, since I haven't been able to find a Zulu clock online.
Right, yeah. But is a stream passion autism or Asperger's? Being able to totally or mostly focus on one particular thing, for example, something related to open source, right? And that's the main interest, that's the main thing that someone cares about, is that, and they're not even getting paid for it as well, a lot of the time, is that autism or Asperger's, or related to Asperger's and autism? That's the question I want to ask.
Well, there are always people who are just wired that way. Autism does part of it because of our different perceptions, but also there are introverted people where the purity of mathematics or computers or what have you. I found computers to be a refuge back in the days of BASIC, in fact, BASIC on a mini computer. I was growing up in a nasty alcoholic household, and with the computer stuff, I always thought of it. I was pushing their buttons instead of them pushing mine, which was empowering as a teenager.
Yeah, I mean, college, well, it's a bit different in the UK compared to America. It's not the same thing quite. Let's say education, yeah. College was a bit difficult. Education, school, etc. But then computers was a way to, like, escape, and the internet as well. And I find that about IRC and things as well. And it was like you go, it's like a different world, sort of. And it was a way to escape from whatever was going on in the so-called impersonal world at the time as well. And then you just escape into cyberspace and do whatever, and it was nice to, especially as a teenager, and then you make some online friends and things as well, and so I think, yeah, in some ways with computers, and it's probably, I'm not really a gamer, but again with gaming, I guess the same thing there, people can escape into their gaming world and escape from reality a bit, and stuff like that.
Yes, well, not just the gaming world. There is a complete world where
there's a virtual world as well.
There's a system called Second Life where there's a complete secondary economy.
Where you pay for things in the thing, or
you pay.
I think someone from my lug who does Second Life. I think she's quite into that. Yeah.
Well, you pay for things. There are people who make a good living creating, doing activities and creating things for the Second Life world.
Yeah, well, no, that's common in games, I think, now, that you can pay for, like, features, weapons, or whatever, in computer games, but you actually pay with real money. And it's like, yep, here you go, you got that feature, you got that thing now.
Greetings, Norfolk Island, Kingston. Note, we need a decent Zulu clock site.
It's a shame that none of those people on this podcast are even listening to it. Oh, as far as I know, this is mostly Europe and America and Canada, I guess, and maybe a little bit of Australia and New Zealand, maybe.
I'm in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm just kind of listening. I'm actually in Wally World right now doing a little bit of shopping, so.
Where are you? Sorry, Hollywood?
I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, but I'm in Wally World, which is Walmart or Asda over there, or what used to be Asda.
Oh, obviously, yeah, Walmart.
Well, I would email Honky, who's going to have to process all of this audio, but I don't think there's much he can do because we haven't been given proper clocks.
Well, who's doing it, Pokey? Also, is it going to come up in August again? Because that's what happened last time. Like, months and months later after the New Year's show, when you think about it, it bears online.
Yeah, they're going to have to just apologize for us not being able to read.
And I'm glad Gossipfoot introduced himself, actually. Turns out he wasn't just a spy who was in here on Mumble spying on us.
Sorry, I'm just kind of walking through super noisy aisles, otherwise I'd keep responding, but there's probably copyrighted music over my head, too.
No, I understand, yeah. If you're in a public place, etc. That's for Walmart and Asda, yeah. I mean, they did buy out Asda over here, the supermarket. However, more recently, they actually sold it pretty well. They might have 1% of a share in it still, something very tiny. But they sold it off to some, like, billionaire Isaac brothers or something that I think they're Indian or British Indian or whatever they are, but they're billionaires, and they bought out Asda, so that's kind of interesting. And also Morrison's, that was the third biggest one, got bought out by Americans, started to lose market share and grew up in prices and everything. And then the Germans with Aldi have become, which is also in America, I believe Aldi actually have taken over as the third biggest out of the big four supermarkets in the UK, Tesco, Sainsbury's, used to be Morrison's. No, Tesco, Sainsbury's, Asda, and then it was Morrison's, but now it's Aldi as number four, which is interesting how they got into got in there. But on the other hand, there's a so-called cost of living crisis where the food is more expensive as inflation. I think it's happening elsewhere as well. Get the gas and the oil and the electric and the, yeah. But it's interesting how the Germans got rid of Morrison. Morrison's got kicked out of that.
Oh, but don't forget Boots, too. Was bought out by Walgreens.
Sorry, say that again?
Boots was bought by Walgreens.
Sorry, I couldn't hear that properly.
Oh, sorry. Let's see. I'll try to get to this. Boots, the drugstore, was bought, I think, by Walgreens here, the chain here in the States.
Oh, Boots. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, they might have been bought out as well. Quite a big brand over here, yeah. It's very known, Boots is. The only thing with Walmart, though, and I've been to Florida, August 2008, so I've had that. But yeah, you can get those, like, massive ice cream tub, yeah? Like, super size, like, absolutely massive. Still hear that, Minor?
Yes, I'm here. I'm just reporting how that our timing is screwed up because we don't have proper... Because I'm on Eastern time and I don't have proper translations to the Zulu time put in the
What about I don't know, like timeanddate.com or whatever it is, huh? Does that help?
I'll see.
That's supposed to have all the time zone stuff, I believe.
The problem is that I don't need static conversion, I need a clock that does the conversion actively. I need a Zulu clock.
Where is New Year? Can we Google it and get a clock? But yeah, I might miss a few half-hour time zones potentially, because there's a few, maybe three of those. India has one of them. So there's something on timeanddate.com. I mean, it shows the time zone, when it's going to happen and things. I don't know if that helps to some extent. But you can go like next time zone, previous time zone.
Well, I've got an active Zulu clock. Thank goodness we might have this straightened out by 1300 Zulu.
1300 GMT UTC, yes, which is 15 minutes or so. That's what you meant, yeah?
Yeah.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.